Well, we'll go right ahead into my presentation, which is a single marker and haplotype based association analysis of anthracnose resistance in spinach. Well, spinach is a very important vegetable, as we know, but its production is hampered by many diseases and pests, one of which is anthracnose. And this can lead to 100% yield loss, especially in the humid lower Texas region. Unfortunately, no resistant varieties to date can be pinpointed as being fully resistant to the disease. No particular chemical control has been proven to be effective. I think that is not enough. Other challenges that breeders face with spinach is being a dioecious plant, having male and female in a pool of, in any plot you're gonna get males and females. So outcrossing is very, very, very common. And therefore, breeding efficiency has been pretty low. But fortunately, we have molecular tools that have been developed, and some of which are next generation sequencing, spinach reference genome that is now available in a draft form, of course. And we can now develop very high density SNPs. And one of the main methods that have been used, as Ainong put it, is genome-wide association study. But again, this is also dodged by effective marker identification, or perhaps true marker identification is a problem. And therefore, we are attempting to enhance this method by haplotype tagging. Haplotype tagging here just means that we, for the traditional GWAS association study, we normally use, where's my pointer? To the left, a whole pool of SNPs used at random and tagged at random, tagging, pointing the SNP that is associated with the trait. And therefore, we find that in many cases that presents major problems, especially in false identification of SNPs. But then one advantage of haplotype tagging is grouping those SNPs or blocking those SNPs into representative blocks, that is, and therefore, and then tagging specific SNPs that represent those blocks. And the advantage here is we're gonna have fewer markers to deal with, and that improves, that drastically improves the power of identifying true associations. And on this, the right-hand side is just one of the methods that is used, that is pairwise, a tagging method. And then on the lower end is the multiple marker tagging method. So the objective here was to identify resistant sources from a pool of spinach germplasm that we had, and also to identify markers using this improved method. We hope is an improved method of haplotype tagging in GWAS. So essentially, we had 276 spinach accessions from the USDA germplasm pool and Texas A&M breeding program. These were inoculated in the field, and the disease severity was scored from 1 to 10, 1 being most resistant and 10 being most susceptible, and every other thing is in between. So a very quick preview of GWAS method. We have the phenotype on the left-hand side, and we need the genotypic information to associate with the phenotypic data. So with the genotyping, after calling the SNPs, remember the single SNPs that we saw in the previous slide. Now, from the single SNPs, we do the haplotype tagging to tag those fewer SNPs that will be representatives of the blocks that will be associated with the trait. We also did GWAS using the single SNPs and compared the three methods, the three approaches. But now, changing gear a little bit, we'll come to that a little later. Here, this is the phenotypic data, the phenotypic information that we got. And we see it is very much skewed in favor of the susceptible lines. We have majority of the lines are susceptible. And on the right-hand side, just a sample of the 12 most susceptible. And we only had 5 resistant lines. That is scored 1 and 2. And now, with this phenotypic data, we did association study using those 3 approaches, the single SNP, the pairwise tagging, and the multiple marker tagging. And you can see here, we have a ton of SNPs from the single SNPs, and very much reduced in the haplotype tagging method. And essentially, as you can see from the advantage that we draw from this, the take-home message is that we have a higher heritability of the haplotype blocks. Those representative markers present higher heritability of the trait than we have with the single SNPs. And of course, slightly marginal improved power of detection of true SNPs or true associations. And this is just to summarize the number of SNPs that were the true associations that were detected by the 3 methods. We had single SNPs 13, and we have the multiple marker having the majority. On the right-hand side is just a graphical representation of what we have on the left, where the horizontal are the particular chromosomes, 6 chromosomes. And you can see the take-home message here is that the markers are distributed more or less evenly across all the chromosomes. And it shows that this trait here is multigenic. It's regulated by many, many genes. And this is just to show how the true associations were distributed between or among the 3 approaches, where 5 of the markers were shared, were common in all the methods, while 4, 9, and 19 were separately detected by the 3 different methods. What does this show you? That it is important to use the 3 approaches together to in order to draw from each strength, I mean the strength of each one of them. And now what we do with the markers? We have the markers on one hand, or significant markers, and we have either resistant and susceptible. Now, what we did here was to test these significant markers with either the germ plasm classified as resistant and, on the other hand, as susceptible. And what this diagram here shows is it shows the relationship between those significant markers and the two sets of the phenotypes. And for the dotted ones, the dotted germ plasm, the dotted lines are the resistant, the 5 resistant lines that we saw on the distribution graph on the left-hand side, while the other 12 are the non-dotted ones. And on the green marks here are the scores that were obtained. So what this shows is there's a small bias for the markers clustered together in the resistant lines as opposed to some of the susceptible lines. So in this diagram here, we can say that these 2 lines here and the lower end of the tree can be used as 2 separate or divergent parents for crossing or developing biparental lines for further validation of these markers. But then it's also of interest to know the genomic address of each of and every marker. But this is just a sample of the markers that were identified and their genomic address, where we have the gene and the digits, different annotations for those particular genes. So in conclusion, We found some resistant accessions, and also we found that the resistance is multigenic, as we saw in the distribution of the markers. And also using haplotypes can capture additional variations or variants and may provide more power. As we saw, it had slightly more power to detect variations that explains the heritability. And we recommend that combining all the methods can explore the different strengths of the three methods. And with that, let me thank our lab team, and led by Dr. Carlos Avila in the audience. That's my boss, I'm his postdoc. And the rest of the team, the bioinformatics and those who call the SNPs, and the phenotyping team at Uvalde. The funding, Texas A&M AgriLife Seed Grant, and the USDA NIFA SCRI. Any question? Yeah, those are the next. Not yet. Yeah, those are the next steps that we're gonna do. We're gonna do qPCR and of course do the biparental crosses to validate the markers, and of course do qPCR and all that.
No, I'm talking about the actual metabolome, not the gene.
Not the gene? No, we haven't. No. Yes, Dr. Aino.
This is the first time for all those new research. Only one next question is one. You have the single SNP, single, then the multiple hybridization is more than single. The number you find is like LD, LD regions. So you find that the market number is the single mark is less. And they only have more. So usually that's probably in the opposite. The single mark have more single event than the LD relationship at best.
Yeah, surprisingly yes.
How to explain this? But mostly the case.
Yeah.
The single mark have much, much more number single events. Then the LD relationship have much less.
Yeah, I think it's because of the stringency, the multiple testing stringency that was placed on, because the higher the number of markers, the lower the power.
So usually,
yes.
The LD relationship,
yes.
Less than single mark
relationship. Right.
It's more normal, but then you'll find it much more. So do you think it is much more?
I don't know.
This is the question. Because normally it's less.
Yes.
LD detection.
Yeah.
Less.
Yes.
So you have highlighted heritability, like almost what? So is it a broad sense or a narrow sense heritability?
Yeah, this is narrow sense heritability. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Using the markers. Yeah. Right. This is marker-based heritability, so it is narrow sense. It is not the phenotype heritability. Yeah. Yes.
So we have one more question. Time for one more question.
Thank you.